This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You're damn right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of four starts now. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great Winlonzo, and ew. Coming at you live all the way till 10 a.m. Stacked and racked show for you today. In 1 hour from right now, we'll be joined by the lovely Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. She covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the GVL, yeah, news. We'll talk to her about the South Carolina loss to UConn at home. We'll see if there's any updates in the football program that Lulu Kesson has for us. We got her coming up in an hour. 40 minutes after that, at 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast is going to swing by. We'll check in as Dan Morgan, Dave Canales, and the gang move ever closer to the NFL draft. Just a month and a half away. We'll see what Rashad's got. I know they've been doing some draft specials. They've been doing some mocks. We'll check in on the decision to re-sign Andy Dalton, his relationship with Bryce Young. We'll get all that going with Rashad Beard at 8:40. We talk a little Panther football. At 9 o'clock, Hayton Ass Mario's going to join us. And this doesn't happen very often. But Mario texted me yesterday. And Mario said, hey, man, can we address this on the show tomorrow? Now, ordinarily, Mario doesn't say, I'd like to talk about. I give him the option to. I'm like, hey, if there's anything specifically you want to get to, let me know. And normally he's like, whatever you want. And you know, Mario is he's an NBA analyst, so we'll check in on a big Hornets win, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute. We'll check in on, you know, Boston Celtics, Oklahoma City Thunder. See if he believes those are your inevitable Eastern and Western Conference champs. We'll talk a little NFL football because there's been a couple of, not stories, but reports, rumors floating around out there about quarterbacks around the NFL. We'll get his thoughts on those. But I had a take earlier this week on this show. I had a take Tuesday night on BetMGM tonight, and Mario wants to address it. I think he wants to get after me a little bit. So we'll do that with Hayton Ass Mario, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. Sorry, BetMGM Network. Brand new brand, baby. Coming up at 9 o'clock and then at 9:20, the great one Lonzo leads us through Fight Club, your only dedicated segment to the world of combat sports and professional wrestling anywhere in the upstate. Lonzo came in here early to write that thing today. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah,
absolute banger.
Extensive. What I mean, there's no way it can be contained.
We're going to kick Mario off after like 4 minutes to make more room for Fight Club.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's be great. What's he need more time for?
He needs less time. Let's be honest.
He cut his hair, man. So, I mean, less hair means less time. That's how it works for me.
Mario at 9 o'clock, Fight Club at 9:20. You know what happens now? What happens at the 7 o'clock segment every single day? We walk you through the biggest sports stories going on in the world of sports. We tell you everything you know before you get to the office to start talking sports with your coworkers. Ladies and gentlemen, we do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers, with your boss, if you got one of those cool bosses that likes to talk sports. Our boss likes to talk sports. There's nothing more I love than getting him started on Jerry Jones. It's like revving up a diesel engine. Once he gets going talking about Jerry Jones, you're locked in for a minute. You're locked in for a minute, and I'm here for it. Hey, speaking of Jerry Jones, he's also going to be in the audio blitz today because he got asked about the Micah Parsons contract, and his answer was hilarious. And I just like enjoying the suffering of Dallas fans. Sorry, Cole Bryan. Love you and Kerosene, but I got to do it. Also, I think Cole enjoys dunking on Jerry Jones too, so I don't feel that bad. Item number one. We mentioned it in the last segment of the show. We take a trip over to Columbia, South Carolina. We take a little roadie over to Founders Park. That is where the South Carolina Gamecock baseball team played game number 5 last night, and the team remains perfect. They are 5-0 after a 7-2 win over Queens. I don't know if it's University of Queens, Queens University, Queens College, the College of Queens. I don't know. It just says Queens. They're from North Carolina. They're going back to North Carolina with a 7-2 L handed to them by the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Jackson Soucy got the start, 3 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 2 Ks, but it was Ryder Grino who got the dub awarded to improve his record to 1-0. He also went 3 innings. He also surrendered 1 hit, but he K'd 5 of his 6 outs. Came via the strikeout. Ashton Crowther came in 1.2 innings pitch, gave up a pair of earned runs, but did so without surrendering a hit, had a walk and 2 Ks, as well as a hit batsman. From the plate, Nathan Hall was the MVP without a doubt. 5 at-bats, recorded a hit in 4 of them, 0 strikeouts, had 2 runs credited to his name, and an RBI as well.
Really quick, it's Queens University of Charlotte.
Queens University of Charlotte. You know what? I should have known that because last year when the Burns Rebels played their season opener up there, they played it at a stadium that's like right across the street from that campus. I did know that. I didn't know that I knew that. I didn't know that.
That was actually 2 years ago. So,
God,
so
that's
Yeah, so that's why you forgot.
That actually made me feel bad about myself as a person. Thanks, Lonzo. 3-for-4 went Ethan Petrie. He also had a pair of RBIs and a run credited to his name as well. The Gamecocks remain undefeated at 5-0. Let's get to item number 2. The Charlotte Hornets took on the LA Lakers last night in the first game back for the association out of the All-Star break. King James, LeBron James, was expected to miss a couple of games to rest up the ankle that was all fidgety that prevented him, quote unquote, from playing in the All-Star game over the weekend. LeBron James did not rest. In fact, quite the opposite. LeBron James went 10 of 22, 4 of 11 from deep, put up 7 rebounds and 11 assists to go with his 26 points. However, it was the last 2 shots of the game for LeBron that played the most impact. Trailing by 3, LeBron had not one but 2 opportunities to knock down a 3-pointer to send this game to overtime. And he failed. The Charlotte Hornets go on the road, get a 197 win over the LA Lakers. Miles Bridges, 29 points of 9 of 22 from the floor, 5 of 11 from range, knocked down 6 of his 7 free throw efforts, 27 out of a freshly arrested LaMelo Ball. 9 of 19, 5 of 13 from the arc. Had 4 shots at the stripe. Knocked them all down. Also added 5 boards, 6 assists, and a steal. Mark Williams was kind of an interesting storyline in this game. Remember, Mark Williams was traded by the Charlotte Hornets to the LA Lakers right before the All-Star break, right at the trade deadline. That was a move that was going to send rookie Dalton Connect, a guy that I absolutely love, from LA over to Charlotte and add to the youth movement that I believe Charles Lee and the Hornets are going to get going up there for the Buzz. But of course, that trade was rescinded hours after the deadline. Mark Williams allegedly failed a physical. Very interesting, and I got the sound from this. We'll play it in the Blitz later on in the show. He was asked, hey, what did you fail? And Mark Williams said, I don't know. His direct quote, Lonzo, I think you'll appreciate this, was, the night I was traded, I played hella minutes that day. Hella minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot of minutes, Rob.
Hella minutes. Said I played hella minutes that day, and then I got traded. I don't know why I filled the physical. And the Lakers haven't actually given a detailed reason as to what caused the physical to allegedly be failed.
So is there a different physical to play in Charlotte than there is in L.A.? Because you just said he played last night. So
He played last night. He also played the game of the trade deadline day that he got sent to L.A. This is why this has become a little bit dramatic. The belief is, and by the belief is, I mean my belief is the Lakers made the move, and then the Lakers got buyer's remorse. Not about Mark Williams specifically, but about what they sent to Charlotte to acquire Mark Williams. They wanted a big man. Mark Williams is a big man. They wanted a seven-footer. He's a seven-footer. They wanted a young seven-footer to pair with Luka Doncic so that they had a 1-5 punch that they could hang on to for a handful of years after LeBron walks away and Luka Doncic becomes the face of the Lakers, the face of the NBA. And Mark Williams felt like he was going to fit that role. But I think the LA Lakers, after they agreed to the trade, I think they had a little buyer's remorse. I think Rob Pelinka took a look-see at the trade and went, I don't think maybe he's going to add as much as we gave away, or maybe we gave away too much. I don't think Mark Williams failed a legitimate physical. I think the Lakers just decided they didn't want to do that trade anymore. And considering it had already been all but finalized, the only way they could stop it was to fail his physical. And so they did. I genuinely think he did not fail a physical. I think they failed him on his physical in order to undo a trade that sent another couple of young pieces. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Dalton Connect and Luka Doncic playing together for the next 10 years terrifies me. Terrifies me. SEC Player of the Year last year. That kid can ball. That scares me a little bit. And I think that the Lakers recognized after they did this move. I don't have anything to base this on other than the fact that, as we said, Mark Williams played the day he was traded, failed his physical, allegedly, came back, played the very first game back after the All-Star break, 10 points, 9 boards, a pair of assists in this one for Mark Williams. He was 3 of 7 from the floor, 4 of 4 from the stripe. So that's where that ended up last night. We'll talk some more NBA later on in the show. We'll ask Kate and ask Mario about that coming up at 9 o'clock. Finally, let's get to item number 3. Yesterday, down in my home city of New Orleans, Louisiana, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti sat down, had themselves a little meeting along with the athletic directors from both of those conferences. And following that meeting, Sankey and Tony Petitti, I can't not say his name that way every time.
You know, that's okay. When it comes to Petitti, you got to do that.
Hey, don't disrespect Tony Petitti. You don't disrespect the man in charge. Dons don't wear shorts, huh? They said, Sankey and Tony Petitti, that they agreed that the way teams that are seeded in the 12-team college football playoff should change and should change this year. The voices of the two wealthiest and most powerful conferences certainly carry weight, and any changes for the 2025 season have to be agreed upon by the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame AD Pete Bavakwa. That, according to Heather Dinich of ESPN, she quoted Sankey as saying, quote, thank you, Heather, I'm prepared to vote for seating change, but it has to be unanimous. This past season, The four highest-ranked conference champions are in the top four seeds and a first-round bye. It was obviously a bit controversial because the way that the chips fell, it allowed for ninth-ranked Boise State, who won the Mountain West Conference, to earn the three seed, and for 12th-ranked Arizona State to earn the four seed. Both of those teams ended up with a bye. Therefore, third-ranked Texas, who lost to number one-ranked Georgia, and fourth-ranked Penn State, who lost to number two seed Georgia, Penn State, who lost to number one seed Oregon, were both runners-up in their respective conferences, but they could not be seeded higher than 5 and 6 because the top four seeds were reserved for conference champions. That's when the conversation started. A conversation about potentially changing the seeding for this fall that would basically say conference champions, conference runners-up, top conferences, lower conferences, no conferences at all. We don't care about any of that. What we care about is, while conference champs are still guaranteed a spot, we're going to stack them up 1 through 12, and that's our seeding. And it's a weird spot, great one, because, like, on one hand, I understand the reasoning behind allowing the conference champions to get a bye. It is the reward for winning the conference. The reason that Oregon, who could have lost to Penn State by 99 in the Big Ten championship game, went out and played that game to win that game, I think, was to earn the bye. Granted, it didn't work out for them because they got that whooped by Ohio State in round two. But I think the reason they went out there and beat Penn State was to get the bye. I think the reason why you saw Texas and Georgia in the SEC, two teams that, Georgia maybe less so, Texas definitely, and even if they lost that game, the reason you saw Texas go out and try to win was to try to catch the bye, prevent Georgia from getting it. I get the reason why they wanted to have the conference champions get a bye. If we go with this, not every conference championship game, this will not be true. Obviously, the ACC, Clemson, SMU, there was a very good chance, even if it was SMU, very good chance, obviously it happened, that the loser of the ACC title game was going to get bounced. If Clemson lost that game, they were going to get bounced. So it will not impact every conference championship game. Big Ten conference championship game, this would have an impact on. I believe that both Penn State and Oregon were going to the playoffs last year, regardless of the outcome of the Big Ten. So if I'm coaching at Oregon, if I'm James Franklin at Penn State, if I'm Dan Lanning at Oregon, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I care more about winning a national championship than I care about winning a conference championship. And if I care more about winning a national championship than winning a conference championship, and if I do believe that having the first round bye is a better option than not having the first round bye, I would win the conference championship in the old system, and I would absolutely send out 22 walk-ons and accept an ass-whoop into the Big Ten championship game now, because even if I drop from, say, the one seed to the sixth seed, I'm still in.
But what if you are a coach who has an incentive in your contract that if you win a Big Ten title, you'll win, you're awarded millions of dollars?
That is something that coaches that are carrying contracts into next year will have to address. Here's the interesting question. For coaches that sign extensions, for coaches that get new contracts, do you accept that escalator? Do you say, I will take a conference championship bonus, knowing that if you find yourself in a spot like undefeated Oregon going into the Big Ten title game, knowing that they're in the playoffs one way or the other, so who the hell cares if they win the conference? Wouldn't you rather rest your boys? You're playing in the first round anyway. Wouldn't you rather rest the boys and go in there with a week's rest that other teams don't have?
Or you take the money knowing there's no guarantee that you can go anywhere in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, this is the old game show. Take the money now. Or move on and see if you can win more.
Let's talk about that in the next segment, shall we? Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, as well as the athletic directors of the Southeastern Conference, the Big Ten Conference, sat down at a meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana, yesterday, 1 week ahead of the overall college football playoff committee meetings, which will take place next week in Dallas, Texas. Yo.
Yeehaw.
The commissioners and the athletic directors are getting themselves on the same page. Because the Big Ten and the SEC, the power players in the landscape of collegiate football, they don't necessarily have unquestioned power. They do have unrivaled power, but not necessarily unquestioned. Because, as we have talked about a number of times, we don't have to spend a ton of time on this because I talked about it a little bit earlier in the week. If there are going to be any changes to the college football playoff format for this year, those changes have to be unanimously approved by the 10 FBS college football conference commissioners and the AD at Notre Dame. All of them have to say yes. Shout out to our boy Chris Miller, voice of the Gamecock pregame and postgame show, jumping on the stream. What's up, big fella? Happy to see you, brother. Thanks for coming by.
Hope to see you in a couple months.
True that. The commissioners of the SEC, the commissioners of the Big Ten, and then the other eight commissioners and Bavakwa from Notre Dame, there's a very interesting power struggle breaking out here. Well, I don't know if it's a struggle because I don't know that they're struggling. There's the potential for a very interesting power struggle here. A little Game of Thrones college football edition. Because on one hand, Sankey and Petitti and all of their athletic directors are meeting in New Orleans coming up with what they want. One of the things that they want is to change the seeding format of the college football playoffs. Last year, obviously, the top four ranked college football conference champions, which did include the Big 12's Arizona State, and it did include the Mountain West Boise State. The four top conference championships, the four top conference championship winners, got themselves a first round bye. That led to a world in which Penn State, who lost to consensus number one Oregon to win, I think, the second best conference in college football, the Big Ten, had to play in round one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're so wrong about that.
Yeah, I do.
Which conference had more teams in the? You're making me be Big Ten guy. I'm not that guy. You're being anti-Big Ten guy.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You absolutely are. Who won the championship the last 2 years in a row? That would be the Big Ten. Who had more teams in this playoff? That would be the Big Ten. So you'd have to say, at least statistically, which you are big on, statistically, the Big Ten was the best conference last year.
No. I I'm not SEC guy, but
obviously it just means more to you right now.
One through bottom of the conference was deeper in the SEC than it was in the Big Ten. Uh-huh. It was Ohio State, it was Oregon, it was Penn State. That was your conference. The SEC had a bunch of teams that were right
so
there.
So those are the only three teams that made it into the playoff from the Big Ten?
Those are the only three teams that mattered.
So you're dissing your boy, who you were on with the entire season until he lost.
My boy.
I'm a winner. Look me up or Google me.
Google me. I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Indiana.
You just act like that guy doesn't exist. When we heard that every week during the football season last year.
We did. And you know what else I said at the end of the football season? And I stand on that today. If Indiana played in the SEC, that would have been a 6-6 team.
Uh-huh. Sure.
They would have.
Really?
They would have. Who beat them? The three teams that matter in the Big Ten beat them. That's the list. Nobody else from the Big Ten could beat Indiana.
How many teams from the SEC made it to the playoff?
This is the point.
You're the one who did it.
I know. No.
This was you.
No. I'm trying to stay on board, taking down both of your power conferences, your Targaryen dynasties.
You are trying to take down the Big Ten whilst leaving the SEC alone.
I'm not. I'm about to go after Greg Sankey right now. So, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey got together along with their ADs in New Orleans, Louisiana yesterday, and they said, we want to change the seeding format. We want to stack and rack the top 12 teams in America, regardless of conference championships, winners, losers, runners-up, whatever. We want to stack them 1 through 12, and then that's just the way we want to seed the playoffs. Now, after Boise State got a bye, after Arizona State got a bye, and after both of those teams got punked last year in their first game in the second round, I honestly don't think I really have a problem with the concept. I don't.
I just need to say something really quick because I was curious. Greg Sankey is also from New York.
New York guy, huh?
Yeah, so you got two. It just makes it a little more, you know.
So the head of the Sankey family and the head of the Petitti family got together in New Orleans, which obviously you do that because New Orleans is way away from Joycey, right? You got to get out of the view, out of the public spotlight to have these behind closed doors meetings. I assume there were two guys in black suits standing by both sides of the door. And also they 100% met in an Italian restaurant. So Sankey and Petitti, they got together in the back room. Cigar smoke wafting through the air, smell of bourbon infiltrating your nose. And they sat across from each other and they said, listen, you benefit, I benefit, we benefit. Your family benefits, my family benefits. Everybody's better off. Now, there's a bunch of more people outside, and they've got something to say about all this. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not worried about it. I don't think you're worried about it. I think we come to a deal. See, we got all the power right now. There's nothing they can do about it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to create a new format here. And the format is very clearly going to benefit you and your family. It's very clearly going to benefit me and my family. And when we go into this meeting next week, we present a unified front, right? We present a unified front and we tell the other 10 folks in the room, you got two options. You can be with us or you can be against us. And if you happen to be against us, it'd be mighty unfortunate if something was to, I don't know, happen to your beloved sport. So are you in or are you out? That's all I got. That's all I got. But thank you.
Well, nice touch at the end.
Cigar smoke.
I can't see your face, but I was just envisioning the meeting because that was it. You just painted a wonderful, wonderful picture.
I'm an artist with language. So Petitti and Sankey, the head of the families, the two families, they get together and they say, look, here's the deal. Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to seed them 1 through 12. Why would they do that? Because the reality is those two conferences have the image. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. Those two conferences have the image that they are just light years ahead of everybody else. And for the record, they are. All right. The SEC to me is the best conference in college football. The Big Ten's right behind them. And then everybody else. Sorry, ACC. You stack up that. Big 12's third. ACC is there somewhere. They stack up. So when we get to the end of the year, I will say this, and we talked about this a little last segment, I'll bring it back up here. I think there are, across all the conferences, I think there are some conference championship games that this is going to have an impact on, and there are some conference championship games it's not. Last year, as we pointed out, Texter said, Robert De Niro's job is safe. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, to be honest with you. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, if you saw him on Saturday Night Live, he's not doing well.
Well, he's like 88 years old, and now he's got a kid, a newborn kid. He just had a baby.
Oh, so he hasn't been sleeping. Okay,
Bobby.
I get it.
Bobby De Niro. I get it. She's young. She's pretty. My man, chill out, bud.
It's all about legacy, all right? Rob.
You can do that without doing that. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, Bobby De Niro. Okay, so last year's Big Ten Conference Championship, Oregon, Penn State. I firmly believe both those teams were in the playoffs. I said this going into that game. I firmly believe both of these teams are in the playoffs. Last year, under the old format, top four conference championships get a bye. Under the format last year, both of those teams had a very good reason to want to go win that conference championship game. For Penn State, it's to guarantee that they were in and catch a bye. For Oregon, it was just to catch a bye. They were going in, and they were either going in as the one seed with a bye, or they were going in as the five seed, not having a bye, but they would get to host a game in round one. But they had a reason to win. If we're going to go 1 through 12, what scenario does that look like this year? Well, the scenario it looks like this year would be that the Oregon Ducks win that game. They go in as the one seed. They get to host in the opening round of the playoff, but there's no bye. So if they lose that game, we'll say theoretically, they drop to 5, which is, I think the absolute lowest they would have dropped. Frankly, I think they would have probably dropped to 3 or 4. I think they still would have probably been ahead of Texas if Texas lost the SEC title game. Oh, that's irrelevant. Hypothetical. Point is, they'd have dropped somewhere to 3, 4, 5. Which means instead of the one seed playing the 12 seed, which last year, of course, would have been the Clemson Tigers, ACC conference champions. Instead of Clemson coming to Oregon as the one seed, if we keep everything intact, instead what we end up with is Oregon going to 3, 4, 5, still hosting, but instead of playing Clemson, they'd have played SMU or somebody else, Indiana, Notre Dame, somebody in that kind of in that range. If I'm Dan Lanning and the Ducks, genuine question. Do I go full tilt to win the Big Ten last year? Do I risk Dylan Gabriel? The best chance, the best hope I have to win a natty, do I risk him to win a Big Ten championship game that, if we're being honest, is kind of irrelevant? I mean, it's a nice source of pride, right? We get to hang a banner in Eugene. We get to make some fun T-shirts with the duck on them, wearing a crown or whatever. We get to talk smack to the Buckeyes for a couple of years. Hey, first year in, we whooped your ass. Like, that's all well and good. That's all good and fun. But to me, I'd rather win a natty. And I'd rather do everything in my power. I will sacrifice 15 conference championship games to play for one national championship
See,
game.
You keep saying to you, but if you add in your contract, you make an extra $5 million. If you win that game, you're going to try to win that game.
Maybe so, but I think there's two things at play. Number one, I will also tell you that if I am a coach restructuring a contract, signing an extension, getting a new contract, moving into the Big Ten, whatever the case is, I'm not accepting that as an escalator. I'm telling my agent, I don't want a conference champion, because conference championship game is largely irrelevant now. It just is.
I'm taking the money. I'm saying, yeah, because if I believe in my team, I believe not only can I do that, but I can go all the way and win everything. And I get that extra money.
So the question here then becomes, if you're the Oregon Ducks last year, do you play your walk-ons in the Big Ten title game, give yourself an effective first-round bye by not playing the conference championship game, giving your starters one extra week's rest before you go play a 12 seed or a 10 seed or a 6 seed or whatever you're going to play in round one? And the answer to me is yes. Best chance I got to win is to be as rested as I can go into the playoffs. The answer is yes. So, if these guys get these their way, if they push everybody else around and everybody else goes, hey, whatever it is you want, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, we don't want to upset the families. Whatever you want, it's yours. Take it. If they do that and they give in, these two conferences benefit, and I don't know that anybody else does, because I don't think there were any other conference championship games that had what the Big Ten and the SEC had, which was all of those teams are going regardless of the results. It makes it even easier for the SEC and the Big Ten to advance teams through the playoffs. We good with that? Or is this more of a power grab that leads to a slippery slope? We'll talk more about it later in the show. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
That was in response to the comment you just made.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say I suck at my job today. I'm just going to say I suck today in general. Like, I'm... No, I didn't. I did, Book.
You are an award winner, okay?
I don't disagree. I am.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
Well, even Mike missed some shots, you know?
He missed a lot of shots.
Mike missed a lot.
And was... I mean, people kind of forget all the... You know, he was great and all, but he wasn't perfect.
Texter said, if it makes you feel better, Rob, Robert De Niro doesn't know ball. I don't know. I've never heard Robert De Niro talk ball. Maybe Bobby D does know ball.
I will say, he's got a heck of a swing. Watch The Untouchables.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, when he brings the bat in. Yeah, it's had a guy quote the entire thing to me on the air. A guy who I still believe is actually in the mafia. So it was on these radio stations.
It's snowing now.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Not like frosty like it was. Like yesterday we got a couple of little things. It is straight up, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful winter snowing right now.
Who dropped the ball on this? Because there's usually a major every few minutes breaking into a programming thing. It's just... A mass amount of snow coming.
Go buy milk and bread!
Oh, my God. Buy all the milk and bread. And we actually, you know, it snowed a little yesterday, no accumulation, but we got accumulation going out there now. I don't know, maybe a half inch certain parts of the... it's not sticking on the road yet. It got too warm, I think. Maybe not. I don't know.
It's snowing here. I don't know where it is, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be right now. Look outside your window, because if you got to drive, and here's my advice as a professional, don't. Just if you don't have to, don't. Because what I've learned is, no matter how absolutely wonderful of a driver, I'm sure everyone in the Armada is, a lot of people around here ain't. It's like one snowflake, one raindrop hits a windshield, and half the population of upstate South Carolina loses their gosh darned minds when they get behind the wheel of a car. So if you don't have to drive this morning, if it's going to be, and I don't know how long it's going to stay like this, Lonzo. I assume it's going to go right up till 10 a.m. and then it's just going
to
stop.
Well, according to the weather app, there is no precipitation going on right now.
I'm going to go. But that app's busted.
You're a liar, weather app.
For real, though.
It does say it's 30 degrees. I don't know if that's true or not.
Buddy, when I say it's snowing. Like, well, I looked out. Let me put it this way.
I looked out the window and said, man, I didn't know it was supposed to rain today. And Rob's like, no, it's snowing. And then I looked. I was like, oh,
yeah.
There's snow on the ground.
Yeah. And for the record, this isn't like, it snowed enough since I moved here that I'm not the guy that's like, oh, crap, here we go again. I think this is the heaviest snow that I have seen in this city since I moved here. Like, we had that heavy snowfall a couple of years back. I don't think it was snowing like that. I think it was just lighter, but a lot longer period of time. Yeah, it's I'm a Forrest Gumpet. I guess technically I'm a Bubba Gumpet. There's big old fat snowflakes too.
Well, you know, Rob, as someone who's been through blizzards, I got to tell you, as an expert in blizzards, this is no blizzard.
No, it's not. But it ain't a light snow.
It's definitely a shock.
Corn Chip just texted the show. He said, passing by the well now, and these snowflakes are gigantic. Chris was Captain America. Chris Evans down the hall was down here during the break. He was up at one of our tower sites yesterday, and he said, yesterday was the first day since I've been here that I saw snowflakes that were so big that they actually looked like snowflakes, you know, like you see in the cartoons.
And you guys missed a rousing rendition of Let It Snow. I did not participate because I didn't recognize the song until they got to the chorus. But then when they hit the chorus, they full-throated the chorus.
Nailed it, too, for the record. Stuck the landing on it. A couple of actors.
William says, I'm at Furman, and it's snowing.
Snowing.
So it's not just snow, it's snowing.
Yeah, well, you know, when a thing is a thing, and it's like really a thing, like Derrick Henry breaks through a hole, takes it 65, runs over a couple of DBs on the way, it's like, yo, he didn't run the ball. He like, run the ball. When you say a thing twice, that means it's the ultimate version of that thing. And I'm not saying like this is a Denver, Colorado snowstorm. What I'm saying is I can see the snowflakes through our big-ass heads on the window, which have darkened out the windows and I can still see some big ass snowflakes.
It's one of those things where it's cold enough to where that stuff may stay out there. Again, it's not sticking on the road yet that we can see, but you need to be careful while you're out there driving, because I was caught unawares when it comes to this snowfall, and I'm sure a lot of people were also.
I knew that. So last night before I went to bed, I was like, hey.
You stay up too late, man.
I did stay up. No, you know what? I did not. I only stayed up till like 11. Then I went in the back and I watched Lakers Hornets for a little while with every intention of falling asleep to Lakers Hornets, because I'm a fall asleep with the TV on guy. Fall asleep. Ended up watching all the way to the end, because it's actually a pretty good basketball game. Hornets get the better of the Lakers 197. So there you go. Now we've talked sports in the segment and I can't get in trouble for it. And right before I went to sleep, I said,
you're not going to get in trouble for talking about the weather, which is important to our listeners. I mean, come on.
I said, Alexa, what's the forecast tomorrow? And she's like, oh, there's a slight chance of snow flurries. And I was like, oh, dope. Okay. Like, whatever. I can live with that. I came in this morning. It wasn't even that cold this morning. Like, it was nice. I got a hoodie on, but it was nice when I left. I say nice. It was chilly, but it was nice.
All right.
It was hoodie weather.
The temperature dropped from my house to here, and it felt pretty cold when I got out. It was like, I didn't think it was supposed to be this cold.
I mean, yeah, so. But hey, I'll put it this way. The young lady who just got out of the car in the parking lot walking across the street to go into the dentist office, she just got out of her car in short sleeves. All right. Yeah. It was that weather outside.
Yeah.
And now I look outside, and it's like, oh, no, it ain't just snow. As William said, it's snowing. So, if you got to get out there on the roadways today, if you can text the boss right now, be like, hey, boss man. Hey, boss lady. I feel relatively uncomfortable driving my vehicle in these particular weather conditions. I'd like to work from home today. Do that.
This would be the perfect time for you during a break to mosey down to someone else's car and tell them what game they lost by drawing it in the snow. I'm just saying, if you wanted to do that, you could probably do that.
I can write it on his back windshield and then call him in here during the break. That's exactly what's going to happen. I hope he's not listening right now, because that'll run the fun.
He's probably not listening. I mean,
we're about to find out. I'm 100% doing that as soon as we send it to the Sports Flash here in 4 minutes. That's exactly what happened. All right. So, again, if you are out and about this morning, if you're already on your way to work, please be careful. If you do not have to drive this morning, you may want to take some time. Because not only is it snowing, Lonzo, now it's snowing. Now it's snowing, and it's snowing sideways. So
I can't see it through the thing. So
it's snowing sideways now. So weather conditions going to be, let's say, interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trees and seeing some movement out there, so I can see why it's snowing sideways.
It's snowing sideways. So y'all be careful out there because it has started to come down. We have watched in the last, I don't know, 30 minutes, the medians in our parking lot, they're now white, like covered white, like snow. So be careful if you're out there. All right. John Dog texted the show, said no snow on 26 towards Spartanburg. So I don't know if the burgers are getting it like the GVLians are getting it, but here at the Radio Ranch, it's snowing. So y'all be careful if you got to be out there on the highways, byways, flyways, and skyways this AM, because it's again snowing. So we'll see how that plays out.
Wow, you sound like an old school DJ there. Highways and skyways and stuff.
Yeah, I used to DJ on a classic rock station, and I totally had not like classic FM announcer voice guy, but I 100% talked the same way.
All right, what was classic?
Careful out there on the traffic ways, ladies and gentlemen. Flyways, byways, highways, and skyways. Very rainy around the Florida Panhandle. If you got to go somewhere, get there very safely.
So, what was classic rock when you were doing classic rock?
Classic rock was classic rock.
Yeah, but classic rock now is 80s. So I'm just curious about what classic rock was when you were doing classic rock.
Where I was, Skynyrd.
Okay.
Dead. Zep. And then we kind of started to work into, I mean, 80s was in that mix too, but like 80s, but it was like the 80s you listen to in your Camaro.
All right, Brian.
Def Leppard, dude.
Brian, I'm glad I don't have one of those. I love my smart car. Brian, I don't even know what you just said.
It's crazy out here. I work, I'm working in it, sweeping city. He said crubs, but I assume that's curbs. Like,
okay.
Street sweeping.
Okay, all right.
Street sweeper, baby.
So a true member of the Armada.
Yeah.
It just was like, yeah. I didn't
know. The Armada's blue collar, baby. Yeah. The Armada are the guys that are out there, the gals that are out there, that are cleaning up the streets, that are driving the garbage trucks, that are delivering packages and all that. The Armada is the blue collar people. Now, you folks that work up in the Sky Towers, the Ivory Towers of Greenville, you're also welcome here. But the Armada's for the people.
Or in our case, downstairs.
Also that. All right. Here's what we got coming up. Because, yes, we did spend that much time. It's snowing.
No, it's important. It is very important.
It is.
Because I was not expecting this, and I think a lot of people, like I said, are in my boat and didn't think it was going to do this today.
Yeah, I got told light flurries. This is snow.
And if you are an employee of Odyssey, do not, especially in the production department, do not use this as an excuse to not come to work.
Yeah, everybody else, though.
Yeah, it's good.
Use it as an excuse.
The roads
not
look
to come
fine.
To
they look a little wet.
Yeah. If you're not coming to work, means Lonzo's got to do more. You got to be here.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, but if you're not showing up, has zero impact on our lives.
Yeah, then stay
100%
home.
Stay home. Yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's a safe thing to do. All right, Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News coming up in the next segment. We'll talk some Gamecock shooty hoops with her. We'll see if there's any football updates she's got for us as well. Then 40 minutes after that, the legendary Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joins us at 8:40. We'll check in on the Panther off season because there is no off season in football.
I bet it's snowing in Charlotte.
I bet it is. 9 o'clock, hating ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network going to come by. We're going to talk hockey, college basketball, a little bit of baseball, a bunch of football with hating ass Mario 920. Fight Club with the great one Lonzo, your only combat sports centered segment in the upstate of South Carolina coming up at 9:20. And then after that, I don't know. We'll see how we do it. Sports Flash. I'm going to go do that thing.
You should go do that thing. Don't hurt yourself. The Charlotte Hornets defeated the L.A. Lakers last night, 100-97, led by Miles Bridges, 29, and LaMelo Ball's 27 points. Ball also had 6 assists and 5 boards, while Mark Williams' first game back from the negated trade to L.A. saw him put up 10 points and 9 boards. Very awkward. LeBron James went 10-22 for 26, but missed a game-tying 3 with seconds left to force overtime. South Carolina is now a perfect 5-0 after a 7-2 win over Queens last night at home. Jackson, this is in baseball, by the way, Jackson Susie got the start, surrendering just 1 hit and no runs through 3 innings. Make sure to tune in this Saturday at 11:30 a.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the VMI Keydets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's a fan. Upstate.